This class creates a rhythm in your consciousness, and I will be beginning it each week at 3 o'clock, and when I leave they will begin here at 3 o'clock. I'll be going away in about 3 weeks, and I'll be gone for approximately 2.5 to 3 months, and then I'll be back here for a month, and then I'll be going again for another 2 or 3 months. The mastership training is an extraordinary training because it is going to teach you principle, and the principles are somewhat abstract, and they are more abstract than the forms that you are getting in the 9-month training, and the principles are universal in their structure. If you learn this power, you'll be able to instruct people on an individual level while speaking to a group. That is one of the abilities, because you will be using universal terms that apply to each individual as they bring them into their life. And so it's talking from a different level of perception and a different level of consciousness. So you should be prepared to leave whatever position you're on and move to this new position when you are seeking to understand what we are giving you. At first you're going to grope around wondering where it's at, like some do, looking for your power spot, so to speak. But it is just a different place than where you're at, that's all. It's not a better place or worse place, because we're not dealing with good or bad at this point. In the mastership training, we realize there's only God, and all is God, all belongs to God, all was created by God, and there's nothing but that one in whom we all live and move and have our being. And that's the main focus, and that God is everything that we see and everything we don't see, and everything beyond anything that we can comprehend. And that is difficult for the intellect to comprehend, and it will not. Those are words. And the intellect cannot be satisfied by words. It can only be satisfied by direct experience. So the words will even push buttons in you, and certain of the training will do that, to shake you from your position. All we ask you for the time is to open yourself to that awareness and let God show you. Now this isn't some may think you, this is a God of wrath or something. He's going to whip you for everything you did wrong. Or he's going to be a great God that rewards us for everything we did right. Well, you are getting that right now. Everything you've ever been, you are the sum total of right now. And in you, you have the sum total of humanity in your light and in your consciousness. And in you, you also have God and a clear awareness of God. And so you have to find it within you. You can't go out looking at the planets and looking someplace else to get it. You can't go looking in lights and all of those kind of things. The place you look, the place you have to look, is within you. And so this is an inner journey, not an outer or exoteric journey. It's an inward movement. And so you are not searching in me to find God, or in someone else to find God, or in the tree or the wind or something to that effect. You will find that God is in those things. Once you find God, then you will be able to see. But this is a world of illusion here. It is constantly changing. Leaves are growing and falling and decaying, and new ones are being born, and new trees and grass and food and things are changing. Humans are growing and dying, and everything out here is always changing. And it changes at different speeds. Some things take a long time to change. Other things change very quickly. In you, you are like that too. You have changeable areas because you've associated with this change. Your mind changes because you are needing it to adapt to this transitory world. You need to have ability to change your mind, to move your mind from one point of view to another. You need to have the ability to move your emotions. But what happens is, you begin to think that's the way emotions are and that's the way mind is, when mind and emotions are not all those movements. Those are the expressions of mind and emotion. When you find the true mind and true emotional energy within you, it is much different than the play of consciousness that you are experiencing in this outer world. So it is an inward movement to find the pure emotions, the pure mind that is still and calm and clear and unaffected by this outer movement, the source of your stability, your strength, your security. And so we wish you to be secure. And the only security in spiritual teachings is in God. So that's the point, is to dedicate yourself to make a covenant with God. Say, reveal yourself to me. Don't give up. Your skeptical mind may keep you from it. The skeptical mind is not a natural wave, as you will find out in when we get to the mental training and the laws of mental processes, that the mind that you are using is only an association with the one mind. The emotions you are using are only associations with the one desire body, God's desire. And that the physical body you are using is only part of the physical plane. But you are a unique individual beyond this body and beyond these emotions and beyond this mind. You are pure and you are spirit. And when you realize that part of yourself, then you will realize God. You cannot talk to God in your mind, because God will talk to you through his spirit, in your spirit. Spirit talks to spirit, mind talks to mind, physical talks to physical. They all have an inner relationship. The law is alike attracts alike. So that's the first point, that we need to realize that there is only one in whom we all live and move and have our being. Now, as we experience this one, we definitely see there are certain things that we find desirable and other things that we don't find desirable. And sometimes we label these things good and bad. But good and bad is a personality level, and it's not God's level. God loves everyone and everything and all of his creations. And even though they may not love him, he still loves all of them. And each is playing their part. And God's mystery is what we are unveiling. No matter what I say, it isn't going to make any difference. It's what you find out, what you find out from these techniques, what you, as the individual, make contact with. Now, I'll tell you, there are many familiar spirits and other forms out there that you can get drawn up into. And some of them are very beautiful and very glorious, and some of them are very high, but unless they are the all, they have fallen short of God. And so whatever practice you are in, it must be to be true and to be with God. It must lead you to God, not to yourself, not to your mind, not to the world, not to bodies, but to God. This duality is a principle, and without the duality, there'd be no free will, as I keep explaining to you. If there was only one, there'd be only one way. But in order for we, the human beings, to have that free will, and God knows how many other beings are in creation that have free will, but for my search and man's, through man's knowledge and through impression from the universal mental stratas, and that I find that we are very unique here upon the planet, that there's no one else with free will on the planet Earth other than human beings. The animals don't have it. They are subject to their hereditary patterns and their group spirit. Only human beings have an individualized soul. The other spheres of expression are in a group soul. And at one point, our soul is at one with all other human soul, for it is the same. And so when you find the humanity in you, you find the humanity in all people. That is a basic structure. But out of that principle, humanity is formed. Look how many different kinds of people we have just in this room. Many different kinds of people. We all don't look alike. Thank goodness we don't look alike. We all have this nice movement, this diversity of expression. We believe that God is experiencing through his creations. This is how God experiences. We believe this is the reason for creation, is God to experience himself. Now that may sound very ego-centered if you're at the personality level, but if you look at God's consciousness, there are many things created which do what he has gave them to do, which is the law. And the law of things is always the same, and it'll be always the same. Though the application and the function may be different, the basic principle is always the same. Come in. If you wish to reiterate now, we are making a covenant with God. Each individual is to make this covenant. Not with any power, force, anything less than God. You talk directly to God. Make the covenant. Ask him to reveal himself to you, herself, itself. All the names you say are God. All the names you don't say are God. There's nothing that isn't that one in whom we all live and move and have our being. The second was to realize that this oneness in whom we all live and move and have our being, which many people have seen in their spirit by contact, not the physical seeing, not the seeing of being separate, but the seeing of being that in their consciousness, the perception of that. In this oneness, there is a duality. The duality gives us free will, and as I was explaining, this duality is apparent in all of creation, male-female polarity, mother-father-God we call it, the separation of darkness and light, and one say that one is higher or better than the other. We see God as all, God is light. As we began to get into this higher area, you will find certain experiences that are common to all people in that experience of reaching deeper into yourself. We said this is an inward movement, not an outward movement. The inward movement, getting in touch with yourself, we find it common that there is no time consciousness when you are moving in those inner fields. That there is no solidity as far as standing on something and having something above or below or in any direction. We find that to all people common that there is no lights or color or sound or motion, that there is no darkness or light, no being or non-being when you are in that one within, that there is no attributes, there is no beginning, there is no end, there is no desire, there is no desirelessness, there is nothing within that oneness except pure consciousness. It isn't a sleep state, it isn't an unconscious state, it is a pure conscious state, and the pure conscious state has within it the full realization of all things. And at one point, that shift will take place in your consciousness as you reach towards God. We find this common in all those that we have found that have made what we call a God-conscious connection and walk in the light of God, meaning being illumined to that presence and realizing a consistency of awareness of the presence of God, an attention that is so intense when you absorb yourself that you never lose it, and that under any condition, under any time, space, circumstance, with any person, place, or thing, you are still in full consciousness of your oneness with God. This state is what you are seeking to obtain, that oneness state. It's called the mystical union. And so all of these teachings are for that purpose. Don't lose that goal, even though we may be telling you other things. I will tell you that all these things like clairvoyance and clairaudio, extrasensory perception, teleportation, all of the mystical and magical healing abilities and powers of faith and speaking in tongues, all these things will pass. But you won't pass. This body will pass. All of those are part of a transitory universe, and they are not the goals of the training. Though you are taught those things because they are properties of mind, and the mind as it associates with your soul or psyche as you have experienced as an individual entity in this creation. As you get closer to this oneness, there'll be a point where you have to break the duality, to come back to it, break the duality, which is the illusion that there is something separate. Separation is the first illusion. Understand this. Separation is the first illusion, and that's the first point of seeing. And without the ability of separation, there would be nothing to see and nothing to be seen. And so in separation creates duality. So that is illusion, because there is only one God in whom we all live and move and have our being. And there'll be a point where you're confronted to break this illusion. The first point you will be confronted is not in your body, not in your emotions, and not in your mind. Where you'll be confronted is in your soul. You'll be confronted at your heart center. And when you start into about the third level of your heart center, you will begin the confrontation with the duality. And it is called the paradox, and you must break it. You must break through this paradox. If you don't break through the paradox, there are symptoms that will happen to you. And so if you see these symptoms, you must be very careful that you get complete self-control, take self-control. The symptoms are you begin to lose trust in all the people that are around you. You begin to lose trust in all of the things that are being told to you about spiritual things and all the people that have been talking about them in the world. You'll want proof, and you'll want to know that proof without a shadow of a doubt. And I'll tell you something, you will not get proof without experience. Intellectual knowledge will give you no power at all. Experiential knowledge is the only power there is for the soul. And so through your direct experiences, you have power and authority. And you should remember to relate to your direct knowledge at that point, so that you're not drawn into the dark night of the soul. Because another thing will happen. You won't look up high enough, and you won't know if there's God or what God or which is God, or you'll be confused, and no matter what people say to you, it just confuses you more. And no matter what you read, no matter how you pray, you get this confusion. Unless you go back to identifying with that self-control to the point of direct knowledge, bring your self-control to your direct knowledge. Do it with heart. Do it with love and respect. Don't try to get mad at your mind and split yourself and become a spiritual schizophrenic, where one part of your mind is arguing with another part of your mind. If you are divided, then you will not find unity in the One. Whatever is in you is how you're going to perceive the whole and others. And so in this quest for the oneness, we must overcome the paradox of the soul. Some of the information you're going to be getting may be new to you. Some of it may be old to you, presented in a different way than you have seen it before. Some of it may be exactly what you've heard before, but in conjunction with other things, new realizations and illuminations will come because of the sequential pattern of its construction. When you are told to do an exercise, the only way you will have an ability to come past the paradox is to have a direct experience by practicing the exercise. Then you won't wonder if it works or not. You will know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that's experiential knowledge. That has power. Intellectual knowledge can always be transitory and change. Intellectual knowledge is not concrete science. Concrete science is in knowing through experience, direct knowledge. And so that's the only way you have authority. And now you need to realize what your authority is. You have the authority over your body, you have the authority over your emotions, and you have the authority over your mind. You do not have the authority over someone else's body, over their emotions, or over their mind. You have the authority over your soul, and no one has the authority over your soul unless you give it to them. Some give Christ the authority over their soul. Some give Buddha the authority over their soul. Some give Krishna the authority over their soul. Some the Tao, some light, some other names. I give God the authority over my soul and give my soul to God. Someday you will do that, or it will be taken by darkness. There is a force that wants to take your identity, wants to take your body, your emotions, and your mind, and will try to take things away from you. That force has always been in the universe, and if you read any scriptures, you will learn about it. It is described as darkness, the dark ones, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen ones, the black fields, unconsciousness, many different names for that darker force. When you think, when you feel, when you know, when you believe, you are adding to the sum total of humanity, everything you are doing. And so if you want to know what your connection with humanity is, you are it. Everything you're doing, you're adding to the sum of humanity. And later on, you will find out how that is your access to the one humanity. But first of all, you seek God. And don't stop at that point when you start finding yourself one with others, because when the psyche begins to expand in spiritual realms, you will start being aware of the universal soul. You must be very careful that you don't get invaded by other forms. In this movement from the one to the two, it could not function without something coming from the play of the two. As soon as the two begin to play, have divine intercourse, an inner flow of energy between the two fields, the mother and the father, God, one seen and one unseen, one giving of itself to the other, there is always part of the seen that is being given up to the unseen, and there's always part of the unseen coming into being seen. That is the change, the in-breathing and out-breathing of creation, they call this. The day and the night of creation. We are what is called the out-breathing now, where all things are being breathed into form. But there is a truth here that you must realize. The in-breath is going on the same as the out-breath. Everything is in the state of being, and the illusion is motion. And so you see motion and you believe something has changed because of the motion of it. Things are moving from one plane and dimension to another. Your thoughts take action. Your emotions take action. Your beliefs take action in the world. They also take action in the inner fields. You're not alone there, though you may think you're alone. You are not alone. You are one with all other things, as God created all things. That part of you that is still the original self that is in God knows all those things, so there's nothing to learn. When you get to this realization, you'll realize you've always been what you're realizing, but you didn't realize it before because you didn't pay attention to it. Your attention was not on it. The only way you will be successful with the deeper aspects or the supernatural aspects of this type of training is an extraordinary or supernatural practice. That means once you see this play between the two, you will realize that there is a creator, a father, creating. And you will realize that in this creation that there is a mother also creating. And sometimes the East gets too much on the mother, and sometimes the West gets too much on the father, and we lose the truth of the duality, and we get looking at one half of it, or one part of it. Well, as soon as you do that, you have something opposed to you. In God, there is no opposition. Is there something opposed to Almighty God? No, there is nothing opposed to God. There is nothing opposite to God. There is no duality, so there can be no opposites. There's only one. And this paradox is a tremendous area to break. As you go to break it, you will be going through your past knot rings. You have a ring around your body saying, my body can only function at this size and in this place. And so you have a body consciousness that is the size of this body. But your spirit is larger than this body. That which is in you is greater than that which is projected here into this world. And so the spirit in you is much greater than the size of this body. I gave a key in one of the training that I was talking to my grandmother about her sleeping so much, and she says, I'm not sleeping, I'm practicing being everywhere. She knew she was not limited by the body. I've known that ever since I was a little boy when she told me to go outside and play and leave my body on the bed when I was in trouble, and they told me I couldn't leave the room. She taught me how to get out. Well, I went out and played. So I knew right away I wasn't my body. And I could be as large as a barn, or I could be as small as a gnat. I could be anywhere I wanted to be. In spirit, there is no limitation. God doesn't have any limitation. So we're talking about God realization. And the realization as that consciousness unfolds to the degree of your ability to merge with it by surrender. You have to surrender the limitation of the size of your body. And so when we talk about surrender, it means you have to surrender the limited awareness here. There's an innate fear in creatures. They fear things which are larger than themselves. And so when you begin to look at some of these forces out there, they appear to be larger than ourselves. That's why we need to break this awareness of a small body. If what we call a horrendous explosion of an atomic bomb took place to this body, that would be so horrendous, so frightening, so devastating that people would be mentally, emotionally disturbed if they were not killed by it. But can you imagine what a nova is in the heavens? It is so much larger in proportion in its explosive abilities and expansive abilities that it makes an atomic bomb or a nuclear bomb look very small. And if you look that in the beginning, the explosion that must have taken place as the word spun the inert atoms of being into consciousness and into form, you then start getting perspective of this was just something that happened in the infinite, which was even beyond the size of this creation.